Welcome to Kitchen Table Conversations, a series of short and shareable conversation starters for those of us who have or love and support people with a complicated and beautiful brain. Here's your host, Angela Geddes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Kitchen Table Conversations. My name is Angela, and I'm your host today, and I'm just so grateful that you decided to tune in. It is my hope that you grab a nice cup of tea and are sitting around your kitchen table while you're listening to this brief but important podcast. Important, in my opinion, anyway. So many of you know that I'm a social worker and I work in private practice, and my goal is to support people and to walk alongside, and I do walk alongside some of the most resilient and inspirational, creative, hardworking individuals that you'd ever want to meet. But in spite of all of those attributes, there remains significant challenges for some people. And so many of the people that I support do have a legitimate difficulty finding and sustaining employment, for example, and particularly now finding and sustaining affordable housing. That's becoming more and more difficult, obviously. And so I just wanted to spend a little bit of time, because as of late, I've been really more intimately involved with the ins and outs of our social welfare system. And I just want to start by saying that, you know, I'm a provider in this social welfare system, and I have, you know, a lot of years of experience working within the system. I have a lot of years of education behind me, and I am fairly technical and able to navigate, you know, the Google and to try to find how to complete online forms and make connections with people who can be helpful. So I'm grateful for those opportunities, and I'm really grateful to walk alongside many people who need a little bit of extra support. But I'm here to tell you that it's a tricky system to navigate. You know, I just wanted to bring this home to our kitchen tables, because I think sometimes we sort of feel that our disability support or our Ontario Works and our financial safety nets within the province of Ontario, I'll speak to specifically, but I think it's fairly commonplace across Canada anyway, that, you know, we do have an obligation to help people who are less fortunate. And, you know, our Ontario Works system, for example, is meant to be a temporary relief for individuals who are without employment for one reason or another. But I think that it's also really important to note that our system, even though I'm so grateful to live in this province and I'm so grateful for the staff and the number of people out there that are so passionately involved, so I just really want to be clear that this is not a staffing or a personal issue, but the system itself can be, you know, very political at times, and depending on whose opinion we're following in terms of policy development and changes within our system, sometimes it's pretty far removed from the family experience. And so I've just had some time over the last couple of weeks helping newly eligible people for Developmental Services Ontario access what we refer to as passport funding. And the passport funding is about $5,500 for the year, aimed to help individuals engage in the community in meaningful ways, to find purposeful activities and a sense of belonging, and to, you know, really help to have individuals actively engaged in community and to sort of relieve some of the pressures from immediate family members. But I'm here to say that, like, just to give you an example, our system makes it so that individuals with a disability have a voice and have choices and get to make decisions around what it is that they want to do within the community. And so it's not just program specific that if you live in this town, this is where you go to access services or the, you know, the programs and the education and the workshops and that kind of stuff. That's not the way we do it. So there's a lot of choice in Ontario, which I think is lovely. But it also means that individuals with a significant disability are left on their own to make some of these decisions and to access these services independent of direct support. So I'm not here to say that there aren't people at Developmental Services Ontario that are helpful in navigating the logistics of the system, but there is a lot of decision making that's left on their own. And for example, with the passport funding, and this is similar to what the government did not very long ago around around the services that were provided specifically for individuals impacted by or experiencing autism spectrum disorder, for example. So, you know, you used to be able to go to government-funded programs and services that were aimed to specifically address the unique and complex needs of individuals on experiencing ASD. But now what the government decided to do was just remove those services that were publicly funded and instead put money in the pockets of Ontarians. We hear that all the time, put money back in the pockets of Canadians to make decisions around that. But I'm here to say that the $5,000 a year that families who have children with autism receive now are not enough. So it's not providing the families what they need in order to improve outcomes for their children and to help their families function in a good way. So it's kind of another example of where it's a bit of a band-aid, and it's money that's being offered to families, which of course they're very grateful for, but at best it covers some planned respite breaks for the family, which is imperative for family function, but it's not enough, and it certainly doesn't address the treatments and the therapies that would be really helpful. I mean, they're way more expensive than $5,000 a year, but if it's a publicly funded service, families have access to it, and yes, there's wait lists and that kind of thing, but I just think that sometimes our decisions are fairly quick and short-sighted at times, and I don't want to turn this into a big political podcast, but I just want people to bring this home to their kitchen table and understand that these issues are real, and just the same way with our passport and disability support program. So it used to be that organizations would handle the funds for families and be able to make purchases and wait for the reimbursement from the government and, you know, make purchases on behalf of the family members so that if they needed a gym membership to stay active and healthy, for example, if they needed to engage in the community with an expensive purchase, maybe they needed a computer or they need technical support and extra accommodations, those purchases could be made and provided to the family. But now what we're doing is giving people the opportunity to spend $5,500 a year. But if there's no extra money at the end of the month and there's no credit available to individuals with a disability, how are they supposed to make these purchases and wait for reimbursement? So there was another example where I was involved in some policy development at a federal level. And we once again wanted to hear from individuals with lived or living experience, so people with disabilities and people with significant mental health and addiction concerns and people with FASD, which was lovely. And again, this is, you know, the efforts and the intention behind the involvement is there, but it's, again, it's short-sighted. So the planning committee offered to reimburse individuals who were coming across the country to attend in person and to provide the much needed expertise around the table that will continue to guide policy. However, we were asking individuals with significant disabilities and financial restraints to go ahead and buy their own flight tickets and arrange to get here, and we'll reimburse you. But how do people do that if they don't have money or the ability to buy the tickets? So again, it's short-sighted. It's policy people who have money in the bank and who just assume, okay, well, you know, we're just going to ask and it's really important that we hear from them. But we don't realize how in our efforts to be inclusive, we end up being quite exclusionary, and our process, we don't think ahead, and it's really, it can be so degrading and debilitating to individuals, you know, to throw it in their face once again that they have this different ability and they're not able to navigate the system like the way we intend, right? So again, we're just short-sighted. And in terms of the disability and our Ontario Works program, I don't know whether people know this, but on Ontario Works, you will maybe get a little over $700 a month for your basic needs, which we know doesn't cover a room to rent nowadays. And our Ontario Disability Support Program is somewhere around $1,200 or $1,300 a month, although it's specific to the needs of the individual and if there's other members of the family. Those things are definitely taken into consideration, and there are other opportunities to access additional supports. But basically, that's your income. And I mean, that doesn't cover the rent anymore either. So, and it's just sort of ironic to me that when COVID hit, we sort of felt publicly, or at least our government did, that everyone deserved to have at least $2,000 a month in order to cover basic needs, which, again, is not really enough, but that was the arbitrary decision that was made. But yet people are expected to live with much less than that every month. So how does that work? Now, to the Government of Ontario's credit, I think it's important to know that people on Ontario Disability Support Program can now work part-time or work extra and have a small business, for example, and earn an extra $1,000 a month that will not be clawed back, which is really pretty amazing. Because there again, you know, there's some hesitancy behind helping people to navigate or to access Ontario Disability Support Program, because then we don't want people to think that they're not capable of working. So having a disability, I don't know whether that's the best term for this, you know, because people do have a condition that impairs their ability to work maybe full-time, but there's tremendous gifts that many people have that are not being utilized because of the reliance on ODSP, or the Ontario Disability Support Program, without the encouragement and the staff or the supports that are community-based that can walk alongside people to make sure that they are reaching their potential. So again, we've got services and we've got supports in place that are meant to do that, but I'm not sure that we're always doing that. So I encourage all the listeners to dig a little deeper, do some of your own research, go back to my website. I've got some links to kind of describe the process and who might be eligible. And from my perspective, I think most of you know that I have a particular passion for our complicated and beautiful and neurodivergent brains, and many of whom have been impacted by prenatal exposure, such as alcohol or other illicit substances and recreational drug use, etc. So, you know, I'm very passionate about that, and I'm very pleased to announce that in many cases, the advocacy and the navigation through the system does mean that many more people are eligible for Ontario Disability Support Program, which is crucial. But yet on the other hand, we also need to walk alongside and support people, again, to help them reach potential and not see this as a final, like I can't work right now. But let's help people stay safe, stay within their homes with some extra financial and community-based supports. Let's preserve the family unit, because individuals with FASD or with complicated mental health and addiction issues do need to stay at home with their parents longer. That means that there's an increased risk of conflict and, you know, things to go south. So let's do a little bit of research, and let's try to understand and empathize a little bit with families that are complex, and maybe even, you know, do a little bit of volunteer work or help families navigate some of this system, because the system in and of itself does, not on purpose, but it really does fall short sometimes. So thanks so much for tuning in, and and thanks so much for sharing and bringing this back to your own kitchen tables. Have a wonderful day. Angela.